you had talked about it about a month ago, and being the seer of things in the future that have not happened yet that you are, Drew Shore was indeed moved, as you suggested, in December, and it was the Calgary Flames that happened to pick him up. What do you make of the Corbin Knight for Drew Shore swap?
Well, first of all, I have to confess, I did not hear Calgary as one of the teams. It makes a lot of sense, but I didn't know that about Calgary's interest to that level. I think Drew Shore is a really interesting player in the sense that, you know, normally when you think of a player who's, you know, got a chance to, a young player who's got a chance to be in the National Hockey League, you think, oh, there's the last team you'd think that wouldn't have room for him would be the Florida Panthers. But that's kind of the way it went there. They've got Barkov and Bjugstad as their top centers, and there was nothing they could really do because you can't have a guy like that playing a third or fourth line position. So, I mean, I knew he was available. I knew a lot of teams were watching him, and I can tell you that there are a few teams out there that said, this guy is ready to play in the National Hockey League, and he's got a chance to do something there. I don't know if anybody's expecting him to be a superstar, but he is a player who's got ability. And he could score at the AHL level. He could defend at the AHL level. And I think what happened was the Panthers kind of got squeezed simply by the fact that they, you know, teams looked at them. They knew he was almost out of waiver options. And, you know, they said they're stuck. So Calgary takes advantage. And I think there's a young player there who I think will get a chance in Calgary to do some things that could make him, that give him a chance to be a decently effective player.
Yoni Oreo comes up and gets a shutout for the Flames. Is that, does that create a situation, at any chance of creating a situation as far as the Flames' goaltending status is concerned?
Well, I think what it does, Rhett, is that it gives you reason to give the guy a longer look, right? Like, you know as well as anybody else that, you know, the toughest thing in the National Hockey League is to be consistent. Nobody's expecting Oreo to throw a shutout every time out. But I think what that does do for you is an organization is, look, everybody in Calgary knows how hard it was for him to get to that game the other day. He had every excuse in the world not to be very good, and he threw a shutout against a team that was better. Like, I don't think anybody's going to argue that Calgary was better than Vancouver. And I think what that does is it says, you know what, you know, this guy's a gamer, and this guy deserves maybe a bit more of a look. You know, so I think what he does is he creates the impression, at least, that we have to see what we've got a bit more of here, because this is a guy who played very well in a situation where it would have been very easy for him to not be very good.
Last night we got Jets taking on Anaheim. Timu Solani, obviously the retirement thing. Any special stories about Timu or anything that you fondly remember?
Well, I mean, obviously he was a really easy guy to cover, Rhett. You know, he was always in a good mood. Like when Burke was in Anaheim with Carlisle, they said they really needed Solani to overcome the grouch factor of both him and Carlisle. And I think that's true to some degree. I think he's one of those guys who was usually always in a good mood when you come to a rink. He was phenomenal to deal with from a media point of view. You know, I just think that, you know, he, I think the thing I really remember the most was when he was in Anaheim and they were going for the Stanley Cup, he told a great story. At our hotel, there were a whole bunch of guys from Finland, about 11 of his buddies, who he flew into Anaheim to be there when they had a chance to clinch. So we mentioned to him that they were staying at our hotel, and he goes, you know what, did they tell you about the flight? And we go, no, they didn't tell us anything. They said he had 11 guys on that plane, and they drank the plane dry. There was no alcohol left for anybody else on the flight because of the how much those guys drank when they were on it. And that is probably the story. I know it's not really a Timu story, but it's the story I always laugh at the most because I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Colorado's, we've ripped on them a little bit here in Calgary, kind of with yep. Jerome being there and stuff. But I look at the stats this morning, Tanguay and Iginla, top of the charts in Colorado as far as point scoring. Is that a good thing if you're Colorado?
That team is going through a lot of stuff, I think is the best way to put it. You know, they've really, you know, I think they knew, Rhett, that last year was a bit of a fluke, that Varlamov really carried them to a higher level than they were. But I don't think they expected it to bottom out as quite as much as it has this year. I think they're going to have, like, I think they've been kind of disappointed in some of their guys. I hear O'Reilly's name is kind of out there. I wouldn't be surprised if Colorado is getting to the point where they're kind of saying, you know, maybe we have to make a decision on him and maybe it's time. Like, they need defense really badly, and they don't have a lot of defense coming. So I think I could really see a situation where they're kind of looking at it and saying, if we can get a defenseman, maybe Ryan O'Reilly is the guy who gets us that. But I do think they're kind of looking. I mean, McKinnon, he's had a really rough year. And I don't think you jump off that bandwagon. I mean, the kid's only 19 years old. But I think he's learning this year, Rhett, how hard it is to be a consistently successful player in this league.
It's interesting. There's been some moves they've made in the last calendar year that make you sort of shake your head, getting rid of P.A. Parento, a second rounder for Rito Barrow, who's just been awful and had really not much of a sample size in the NHL. And then to spend all that money on Jerome instead of bringing back a young Stastny at a similar number. And they don't add a defenseman, which everyone looked at that roster last year and said, why aren't they adding D, not forwards in free agency?
You know, they had a really strange off season, and you know, Colorado is kind of a different team in the sense that they, you know, negotiations with them are never easy, Ryan. Like, for whatever reason, they always seem to go through situations where, you know, it just never ends well for a lot of their key players. Now, the one thing I do believe is they were doing that in some ways, keeping their salary structure down because they know they have to deal with McKinnon in a few years. But I kind of look at their situation and I say, okay, where are the long-term decisions going to be coming from here? And, you know, I think, you know, they those guys know Aginla. I think that's one of the reasons they decided to do it. And Aginla had a longer offer on the table from the New York Islanders. They were prepared to give him more term. So Colorado had to go to that third year to get him. Barra, well, that's because Allaire, who has long ties to Switzerland, he knew Barra from over there. So I think that's one of the reasons they decided to make a gamble, which looks like it's going to backfire in a big way. But, you know, I think Colorado, they have some big-time long-term decisions to make, and I'm curious to see where they're going to go with them.
Just wanted to circle back to some Flame stuff. We talked about Drew Shore. The Flames now inherit, which was the dilemma with his contract. When do you bring him up? Because once you do, he can't go back down, essentially. And then in the similar vein, what do you do with Ortio with, you know, Kari Ramo's injury? Last we heard, it wasn't that serious. He is eligible to come back for their next game, which isn't till Thursday. What would you do if you're a GM in Calgary in terms of Shore and Ortio short term?
Well, I think what you're thinking with Drew Shore is you want to put him in a position to succeed. Like, obviously now Calgary's going to have something invested in him because they know that, you know, he's pretty much theirs, right? So, you know, when you're bringing him back up, you want to be a situation where you want to know that he's going to be there for good. So I think that's what you do when you're the Flames. You create a situation where you're saying, okay, when we bring up Drew Shore, he's ready to play here the rest of the way. I think, you know, I always look at the situation with Ortio. If you look at what Brad Treliving did last week, he created a situation. He had a situation where the first move he made, it was Granlund because Granlund didn't need waivers. So I think at the end of the day, you have to always maximize the assets on your roster. What's the best thing for our team? Does a guy need waivers or does a guy not need waivers? And I think by his actions last week, you learned about your general manager that if it's a move that doesn't need waivers, that's going to be the first one he makes.
Yeah, we saw that with Setoguchi earlier in the year in terms of they gave him a long leash when guys did have that, you know, waiver-exempt status. They'd send them down to continue to allow Setoguchi a chance. That one Finally, his hand was forced. Same thing with Brian McGrattan, who'd played one of their last 21 games.
Yeah.
A thought on him and the role he plays, because a lot of people in Calgary were clamoring for more opportunity for Big Earn.
Well, you know, I have a real soft spot for Brian McGrattan. You know, not like we're friends or anything like that, but I've covered him for a long time. I know, obviously, he's been very honest about what he's been through. And I think, to be honest, I think the biggest worry, Ryan, a lot of people had was, you know, if this is the end, you know, what does that mean for his future? He's fought such an incredible battle to keep himself on a clean path. And I think people were kind of worried, you know, what happens if this is the end. But I love the quotes I saw from him last week. It sounds like he's got the absolute right attitude about this. And, I root for guys like that because, as he said, he's overcome a lot to get to this point. That's not an easy battle. You know, knowing and being around Ottawa and doing a lot of Ottawa games at that time, you know, we heard a lot of the stories about what he was going through. So, I root for McGrattan, and I love what he said, and I hope that even if he's not back in the NHL as a player, he, you know, somewhere, some way, maybe there's a role for him that can help him continue to be involved in the game.
All eyes on the crease in Detroit. Jimmy Howard stretchered off on Saturday night with an apparent groin injury, and now youngster Peter Mrazek, who perhaps made his name in Calgary at the World Juniors, is suddenly their number one. What do you make of it?
Well, I know they really love Mrazek. He played an exhibition game in Toronto last year, and I remember asking them about him, and they said, "Oh, you know, it's not a matter of if, but when." I think this is probably sooner than they would have liked, and Howard's having a really incredible year. You know, to me, the biggest question is going to be, you know, he's out at least until the All-Star break, and, you know, you have to assume it's probably going to be longer. I kind of wonder, you know, what do the Detroit Red Wings do in terms of, do we have to add another body? You know, Gustafson is out too. Their backup now is Thomas McCollum. I wonder if they're kind of in a position where, you know, a guy like Jonas Anroth or something like that, did they take the chance and go out and get him? To me, that's going to be the biggest question is, you know, how long-term is Howard out? I think they believe in Mrazek. I know they really like him. But my biggest question is, how long do they say we need to go get somebody else on a short term because our goaltending depth isn't that deep?
Yeah, and it sounds like Minnesota's in the same spot. Who are the names out there aside from Enroth? I continue to look at Calgary's spot with Ramo, a pending free agent, and Ortio's contract moving into a one-way next year.
Well, I think the one thing is that when I spoke to Chuck Fletcher, he made it very clear that one of his biggest issues was that he hadn't yet found anybody that he thought was a marked improvement on what they already had. Now, he denied talking about Enroth with me. I know the name Cam Ward has been out there a lot. But I did kind of hear on the weekend that I'm not sure Minnesota wants to do that. That's a big salary commitment for next year. And I think there's a lot of different opinion on how Cam Ward has done this year. I think there's been a real improvement in him, Ryan, but people still wonder, is he really back at the elite level that people have kind of expected at him? So, you know, the other team to watch about all this, Ryan, is Vancouver. Like, Eddie Lack is a year away from unrestricted free agency, and they've got Markstrom in the minors too. But I don't know if you're the Canucks, if you're going to help Minnesota when you're battling with them for a playoff position. I think the biggest question right now is there a goaltender out there available who the Minnesota Wild look at and say, that guy is much better than what we've got, to the point where we're willing to give up a sizable asset for him? And to this point, I don't think Chuck Fletcher's found that guy yet.
What else are you hearing around the league finally?
Well, I think the other interesting kind of stuff out there is, you know, I was asking a couple teams who I thought might be interested in Eric Staal, and they're kind of telling me that they're under the impression that Eric Staal will not waive his no trade this year. And I kind of looked into that, and that's the impression I got. I mean, there's still 6 weeks to the deadline, so you never know if anything changes. But there sure are teams who seem to believe he's not going to be available, at least not this season. So that was one of the things I was kind of hearing. I heard there were some teams out there who might be interested in Matt Hendricks from the Oilers, but I'm not sure Edmonton's willing to trade him. I think they realize they need veterans, and they really like what he brings there in their room. So I'm not sure he's going to be available. There's also a conference call tomorrow about the World Cup to see if they can start or finish nailing down some of those details. The other thing I heard is Dean Moberg never works. Like, is he ever at the show?
Jeez.
It's a convenience thing, Elliot. If it's convenient for him, he'll come in.
And if Rhett's telling you that Dean doesn't work a lot, I mean, what am I stuck with here? I mean, I feel like I'm hosting every other week.
You know what, Rhett? You'll appreciate this. He's like the Maxima Finneganov of Calgary radio. He works for 41 games and he misses 41 more.
Oh, I went with Max to Australia, Elliot. I got all kinds of stories.
you know that Max Pacioretty is his brother-in-law, eh?
Did not.
Wow. No, yeah, Max Pacioretty married his sister. And
a tennis player.
Actually, he met her at the U.S. Open, I think.
Oh, wow.
I was asking Pat Ray about him, and he says, great guy. And I go, does he miss the NHL? I think Max goes, not really. So that was pretty fun.
Well, Dean is in Vegas, so if you want to throw down some loot on the futures bet for the Stanley Cup, that's your man on the scene, all right?
All right. Tell him to put a couple bucks down on Winnipeg for me.
Couple bucks on Winnipeg. Very good. All right, maybe we'll talk about
that.
I
like long shots.
Yeah. later in the week, we'll catch up. Maybe we'll touch the Jets. They have been interesting this year.
All right. Take care, my man. Have a great week, guys.